It's Barely in Topic, a podcast for Boston Bruins fans by Boston Bruins fans. Welcome to Barely in Topic. We're here again for another week. Wow, it's like 3 weeks in a row or something, because I did a solo one last week.
I was going to say sort of. You just recorded yourself talking 1 week there, but...
And you're saying that's not valid?
I mean, you said we, unless you decided to start using the royal we, which, to be fair, it appears that England no longer has any active royals, so like anyone can declare themselves king now. I think that's how that works.
I'm on it. I'll do it. They'll love me.
I am invoking the royal.
All hail King Tim the First.
What's going to be your first act?
Oh, Jesus. We're switching to driving on the other side of the road. Fuck all that bullshit.
Yeah, okay. All right. Cool. Yeah.
I need to be able to drive around. The second thing, probably something to do with, you know, the whole fish and chips thing. Get rid of that, too. I don't really care for that.
Whoa.
I don't like spelling tires with a Y.
We can get rid of that, too. Fuck that.
Yeah.
I don't mind the U. You can keep the U everywhere it needs to be. But I don't like tires with
Colin
a Y.
Zucchini's courgettes.
Oh, yeah. Fuck no.
And eggplants aubergines.
No, they're eggplants.
Yeah, here's the thing,
the Anglo Commonwealth countries don't do that either. Canada and Australia, they call them eggplants and zucchini.
Oh. How do we feel about coriander and cilantro?
You see, I use them differently. Like most North Americans, I use the terms not differently, right? They're not interchangeable to us. Coriander refers to the spice versus the fresh herb.
Okay. Yep. No, yeah. I mean, that's exactly how I use it too. Because yeah. I can do the spice because that's ground from the seeds, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's a different flavor than the actual leafy greens that taste like soap to me. So, although I have found that if you put a good amount of lime in there, it doesn't matter.
However, the places that do say coriander, they use the coriander for both. I'm like, well, that's just unnecessarily confusing.
Yes. So none of that. And here we go. We're going to use metric for everything. None of this like part metric, part imperial system bullshit that they do.
Yeah, Canada's got that problem going on too.
Well, you have to become the king of Canada.
A little less half and half like Britain does, but they're still like a chaotic mishmash here. Yeah.
I can try to take over Canada. Well,
I mean, it's sort of, you know, I mean, if you became king of England, you would in fact be king of Canada. That's how the Commonwealth works.
Really?
Well, that's true. Yeah. They're going all metric too. Yep, they're right. Doing it too.
Look,
you don't have any authority, but like technically, the king is head of state. Trudeau is just head of government. The formal head of state is the governor general, who is at least nominally appointed by the king, but they're nominated by the prime minister, and the king has no say in whether or not to say yes or no.
I would change that. I would have a say.
I don't think you can do that, because I don't think the king has a vote in Canada's constitution. It's a very weird dynamic.
We're gonna have to rewrite that one.
What you're saying is you intend on recolonizing Canada.
I might have to at this point.
Guys, this is a wonderful way to start off a hockey podcast.
King Tim of House Richmond, first of his name, the recolonizer of the Commonwealth. Okay.
I'm already drunk with power. This is crazy.
So anyway, what's up, guys?
Next step is to invade St. Louis, because I got rid of them in an episode like 7 years ago. This time I really would have the power to do it. We're gonna get the King's Army on that shit.
Just gonna third Carthaginian war that city, yeah, huh? Just level it, sow the salt, walk away.
St. Louis no more.
And we are a podcast for the royalists who watch Boston Bruins hockey, by the royalists who watch, or who, I don't know. I don't know where I'm going with that. Here, we're a podcast for Boston Bruins royalists, by Boston Bruins royalists. And hey, I am VA. And I am here with Jeff,
Hi.
Tim.
Hello, my liege.
I'm sorry, King
No,
Tim.
you're our liege, dude. Your grace.
It's a give and take thing here. I'm drunk with power, but I'm not too much power.
Not too hung up on the titles. Okay, I see. And then and the
Yeah.
formalities. None of this pomp, which is really all the throne is now, is just the pomp and formality. Yeah, none of the actual power.
I'll tell you what, though, Bruins watch parties at the castle are gonna be fucking awesome.
And Nick.
What the hell? I'm gone for like 3 weeks, and it's like that on fire meme.
Which one, the community one, or this is fine?
Yes. I mean,
meanwhile, it's now Tim in the Elmo fire meme.
Okay, so any more thoughts on the Royals and Tim
I
taking
need to get a
over?
royal moose as well.
That
This
should
has
be
to
your
happen as
crest.
well.
It's going to be your crest, Tim,
Yeah.
first of his name. I have no idea what's going on with the Royals. I know that
Yeah,
somebody went
literally
in for
moose. That's the
surgery.
whole thing. That's the whole thing, is literally no one seems to know.
And that's why I'm taking over. They had their chance to tell us. They brought this on themselves.
Dr. Jen Gunter, who is a noted Canadian and American gynecologist, suggests that Kate, Princess Kate, had surgery for Crohn's disease, because if you have Crohn's disease that bad, they do have to do some surgery, and that she might have had to wear a colostomy bag for a while, and that everybody wants to be quiet about that. And that's fine. Honestly, it's her health. It should be for her, whatever. But King Charles coming down with cancer, coming down like he caught it,
I
like.
mean, like, this was he got what he wanted. It was for a long time, it looked like there was no hope he'd ever be king, and he got to be king.
Yep.
There's nothing left for him now,
He can just die and everything will be
Yeah,
fine.
just do himself and Edward the Seventh and call it a day. Wait
Oh.
forever for your mom to die, be king for a very short time, and then croak. Yeah.
Nobody will have anything really bad to say about you, you know?
I mean, I think actually history has a lot of bad things to say about Edward the Seventh, but
Well, I mean,
all of them still have
Nazi
the country house.
sympathizers, you know.
No, that's Edward the Eighth.
Oh, I'm sorry, Edward the
Edward
Eighth.
the Seventh was Edward the Seventh was his grandfather.
Oh. Okay, I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know that
He
much
was
about the name.
Victoria's heir. It was Victoria's heir.
Oh, okay. Okay. Well, all right. I think I'm gonna make an executive decision right now, despite being in the presence of the king, that we're gonna actually talk about some hockey. So.
But do royal edicts
Let's do that.
overpower executive decisions? Tim? I mean,
No,
your
we should talk
grace.
about some hockey. We should talk about some hockey. Let's do
King
that hockey.
Tim, first of your name, does it please you that we talk about some hockey, especially with regards to the Boston Bruins?
Let's do that hockey.
Okay. All right. So, guys, the trade deadline has come and gone. Last week, I suggested, I know none of you listened to it, so I'm just going to tell you, I had no idea what was going on. I knew the Bruins were looking for a forward and a defenseman, and I said that Linus Ullmark would not be moved. And so they got a forward and a defenseman, and Linus Ullmark was not moved. So I am like batting a thousand. I know. It's very exciting, isn't it? Yeah, so what do we think about that trade deadline acquisition of Pat Maroon?
Was funny. I doubt it'll help, but it was funny.
Getting Pat Maroon 5 years ago would have been still the
I'm
like.
sorry, I'm not forgiving anyone on that Blues 2019 team. I don't care if he's a Bruin now. I will still spit on the floor at the mention of his name.
Okay.
That's fair.
Everyone on that team, as far as I'm concerned, is a sentient fart noise.
All right. All right. You have
This
every
is
right to
another
feel that
reason
way.
why have taken over and killed St. Louis.
Okay.
The city.
Yep. There are a lot of reasons to get rid of St. Louis. One, 2019. Two,
2019.
They're racist as fuck. Three, those two like absurd lawyers who are outside pointing guns.
Fire at with the guns.
Yeah, those guys. Yep, that's another reason to kill them. Four, they do bagels and pizza and every food wrong.
It's weird. It's bad.
Why do they cut the bagels that way?
Why do they cut them that way? Why?
What are you achieving?
I don't know. It's like
if you're
going to
cut
tiny...
If you're going to cut a bagel east-west, just once, if you want to make something easier to manage, that's fine. It comes in when Tim's going to hand it to you, but it's also been cut the normal direction.
They're like bagel chips, but they're not toasted. They're just, you can't even
they
really
don't
toast
them.
I don't know.
No, I don't think they do.
No.
The only...
untoasted bagel is just like, it's just jaw work. You're just so much chewing. So much chewing.
So, as... our bagel
resident,
expert
resident bagel expert
I gave this title to myself
self-accreditation
Tim is and now the king of England because of
I've
that
made it so I've okay. made it so you so are you, the bagel expert
okay, there, we there go. You go I am the royal bagel expert. The only way I can say the St. Louis way of eating a bagel is nice is if you are trying out multiple bagels and it's a bagel
smorgasbord,
a flight of bagels,
and you have a couple of other people involved, and you're like, we need to try a couple bagels and a couple of cream cheeses, and we're going to, without double dipping, try each, you know, a little bit of everything here. That's the only way. But
you're just sampling bagels to try to figure out which one you want to have for your really, really just sad excuse for a wedding reception meal. Okay.
Yes. And, well, I guess you're not invited to my wedding because now you know what we're having.
But here's the thing with that, too. Toasting a bagel is important, not just because of the whole, you know, a non-toasted bagel is weird, but when you put the cream cheese on it and it's cold and the bagel's warm and it kind of melts into it, man, that's half the fun.
Mm-hmm.
I am not a big cream cheese person. I don't really like cream cheese on its own. But for those of us who like to put butter, that melty thing is very important. Or I love an everything bagel cut the right way. You slap some cheddar cheese on that and throw it in your toaster oven.
That's phenomenal.
And it gets all good, toasty, and melty. Oh, so good. So good. There's so many things that you can put on a bagel, but why do you cut them that way?
Peanut butter. Peanut butter is great on a bagel.
Oh, peanut butter. Jelly.
Peanut butter and butter together on the bagel.
St. Louis pizza is just like an incompetent Chicago or something like that, right? Actually, that's kind of how you can describe St. Louis in general.
I thought
Chicago.
They have a very St. Really Louis good. Is a very specific cheese that they put on there that is not too far off from American cheese. It's sliced like that, and it's like a processed cheese. It's gross, man.
Basically, eating in St. Louis, unless it's barbecue, is basically like eating at a minor league ballpark.
Yes.
The foods don't make any sense and are kind of horrifying. Yeah, okay.
And St. Louis pizza is just like it's bad. It's basically served on a cracker.
Oh.
Yeah, and then
crust
and then cut into squares.
Are they the fried ravioli people?
Yeah, they do fried ravioli as well.
Yeah.
Okay. Now you might be thinking of Detroit. Oh my god. Why do I know this too much? You might be thinking of Detroit style pizza,
which I didn't even know was a thing until fairly recently. I was like, "What?" I was like, "You're making this up. That's not
real." Is that where you put the cheese on the bottom and the sauce on top?
And the cheese has to be cheddar.
I mean, Chicago does that too, though. VA.
Yeah.
And it's a square pie.
Yeah,
it's a square pie,
and it's thick crust, and you have the edges that kind of get crispy.
Oh, the caramelized edges! Yeah. I love that actually.
Basically, yeah. I mean, Well, basically like Little Caesars, except like not quite Little Caesars.
Which, of course, is based out of Detroit.
Well, that was kind of the point that I was making.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yep. Okay. Well, I mean, I would try Detroit style pizza. It sounds.
My dad.
It sounds a little different, but I mean, you actually have cheese on there.
Yeah.
As opposed to Kraft singles. Great.
Yeah. No. No, I'm not doing that. All right. So we have Pat Maroon. It's so fitting that we're talking about him after pizza.
Oh, I planned that. Totally.
Bravo. Bravo. Of course, that's in reference to last year's Jack Edwards talking about how Pat Maroon, always called the Big Rig, it looks like he's put down a few pizzas down his gullet. So this is going to be fun when Pat Maroon actually gets to play on ice. Now, Jeff, tell us about the trade parameters on this.
Okay, so Pat Maroon was traded for two assets, such as they are. One was, of course, Luke Toporowski, who was an undrafted free agent. Bruins had signed him to the P Bruins last year. He had a very good rookie season. Signed him to an ALC. He's been dog shit. He's gone to the Wild. Incidentally, he's from Iowa, so it's kind of a big deal that he's playing for the Iowa Wild now. Good for him. Hmm. Basically, this is probably just we don't have a use for this guy anymore. This will make him happy. Go away.
Mm-hmm.
And Minnesota apparently is willing to expend a contract slot for that. Good for them.
All right.
And the other, so far we've essentially traded him for nothing, or traded him for nothing rather. Yeah. The other asset is a 2026 sixth round pick. But it's conditional, and it's conditional on him playing one playoff game this year.
All right.
If he had back surgery, he's currently on LTIR. If he doesn't recover, or he comes back, turns out to be shit because his back's still FUBAR, or re-injures or whatever, we would not transfer any picks, and that would be no sunk cost really whatsoever, except clearing a contract for next year. In the form of Toporowski. So, like, as much as I'm not happy that they went out and acquired him, I still don't really understand why they even bothered, to be perfectly frank.
I have a theory.
Okay. I do too. Let's hear yours first.
So, this was supposed to be the first of probably a bigger move, because they could have used his LTIR to essentially acquire cap space, acquire someone, something else, and when he comes back... It's what the Lightning do all the time. Mm-hmm. It's what the Leafs have done at deadlines, acquired basically a dead contract, LTIR it, and now you have room. So I thought mm-hmm. that's what they were going
to
do.
But it's a very
here.
Small contract to have done that. Like it's only 800. He only makes 800K.
Mm-hmm.
Like when those teams have done that, they've like gone out and acquired the shatter. Acquired the abstract concept of Marion Gaborik or something.
Yeah.
or Shea Weber.
Or Brent Seabrook.
Or Clarkson.
Clarkson, yeah. And so on.
Marian Hossa.
Yeah. Well, when we're not talking about Arizona.
Okay. Yeah.
That's different. That's entirely different. That's money laundering.
It is, actually.
Well, if Linus Ullmark had been traded, then mm-hmm. that it, with on top of that, then it, you would have $6 million almost, right?
Clear. I mean, it's not a lot of cap space, but basically for free they got 800.
And of course, it comes in the context that we didn't know until somewhat later that they were about to be putting Derek Forbort onto LTIR.
Mm-hmm.
His Bruins career is now over.
Yeah. I hope Darla's okay. I haven't heard anything about Darla in a long time. But anyway, here's what my theory is. They got him to be Luch without the baggage. And they got him specifically, not for this time of year, but for the playoffs, because they started getting manhandled in that first round last year by Florida. Florida was like punishing hits and all of that stuff. So they want somebody who's going to be a tough guy, basically. So I don't know how tough he's going to be with like a recovered back surgery, but you know,
he's also 35.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I'm just saying this is what they looked at.
Yeah.
According to me.
It's interesting because it just makes that fourth line that much more crowded.
Yeah, because that fourth line right now, especially after last night, it was the only one that was really working. Do we want to mess with it?
Because like right now, you already got Who's everyone playing there? Brazo and Boquist, and you still got Beecher, who's playing his mind out down in the AHL right now. And
didn't Lauko, they recall
like,
him?
He didn't not actually. They had him come to the city to the city, and in the end, didn't formally recall him because remember, there's a limited number of recalls after the deadline.
Yeah. Okay.
And especially if you don't really have the cap space to keep your recall on the roster, you're going to cause yourself some problems.
Yeah, I keep forgetting that the cap still counts for like 14 or 15 games.
And you can't paper people post to the after the deadline because of that, right? Because of the recall limit.
Okay. So Pat Maroon, whenever he comes in, does make things complicated. Because that fourth line right now is building chemistry, and it's basically like Monty, aside from a couple of things, you know, because we had what's his name, Anthony Richard, he was here for a while, but now he's back down in Providence. But now that fourth line is clicking in a way, so
it's steam for so long, it's steam for ages, yeah,
yeah,
yeah. Brazo, which like I gotta say, like I haven't been on the show since before they signed him, but I really thought there was like no point in that, and he's been like a very pleasant surprise. Like I'm genuinely shocked because like I've kept an eye on this guy for a long time because I remember desperately wanting the Bruins to sign him as an undrafted free agent when the Leafs signed him, when the Leafs affiliate signed him instead out of North Bay after he did that like insane like 65 goals or something in his final season in the OHL.
Yep. Well,
so, like it's a good deal. I mean, like, and he's a better skater than his reputation. That's not saying a lot. This reputation before signing was, you know, sort of a John Scott-esque in terms of his skating.
He doesn't get there necessarily quickly, but he gets there. I think that, so he's not a terrible skater. He's just not terribly fast. But when you've got like Lauko and Boquist who are faster, all you need for him is
his edging and his navigation are all right too. Like yeah. He doesn't steer like he may skate the speed of an ocean liner, but he doesn't steer like one.
Honestly, I'll tell you one thing right now. I think he's a better skater than Luch is. It's not a really hard bar, and he's not coming back to this team.
Luch's thing was Luch wasn't exactly changing direction very well. So yeah,
yeah. So like.
Luch was a 56 Buick. He pointed a direction and it's going there. But then
I just love looking at Brazo for his size. He's 6'5, Lori is 6'5, Carlo is 6'5. Very different builds, right? I mean, he's 6'5, 220. Carlo's like 6'5, 219. And I don't know, Lori, like 142. I don't know. he's not very filled out. You know, he's just at the beginning of his pro career, right? So all three of them very different builds. Like it's so nice to see such a big boy out there on the ice, beefy
he's
boy.
He's just a wall. He's just a wall of meat.
It's so exciting to see a side of beef like skating down the ice. It reminds me of some cartoons I saw when I was a kid.
Yeah.
Anyway,
like the Looney Tunes like hallucinating meat, just like the dog sees, oh, steak.
It's kind of like that. Or the Brontosaurus ribs taken into the,
yes,
the drive-in on the for the Flintstones. It kind of reminds me of that, except with skates and legs. Anyway, Pat Maroon may or may not ever play for us, so we'll see. But he was there for picture day today. So, and then they did a TikTok about it, and I was able to watch it twice before it was like, "Put TikTok on your phone." I'm like, "No, I do not want it. Thank you." And then the other piece that we picked up, Andrew Peak, right? Andrew Peak?
Yeah, yeah. So that's a weird one. I'm trying to keep an open mind on this move.
Yep.
Peak is a player with a particularly good pedigree. He's got a sort of a Forbort thing going on because Forbort was a journeyman before signing this contract, right?
Mm-hmm.
And he didn't really, wasn't, and I, you know, a lot of people, he hasn't been able to crack the roster in Columbus. Has anyone noticed that, everyone forgetting that Bradshaw and Pascal Vincent are both clearly really, really horrible coaches? I don't think I would put that much stock into him not breaking the roster, breaking the roster, because again, Pascal Vincent is very conspicuously an awful coach.
To be fair, they kind of had to call an audible after the whole Babcock thing.
Well, yes, and I realized that in Jared Bednar's first season in Colorado looked at that too, because the same sort of thing happened. Well, not quite the same sort of thing happened, but you know, Patrick Roy rage like, quit.
Yeah.
And now he's the coach of the Islanders. Oh, man. So that happened. You know what? I'm just going to give you some of my thoughts on Columbus right now, because they are a team I occasionally watch. Okay.
I follow them mostly because I like reading Aaron Port's line, because he's a very good hockey
writer. He's very good.
Yeah.
I like him. So Dr. Recchi is part of the coaching, not carousel.
Oh, he was a last minute hire to replace Vincent's place in the assistants. Yes,
exactly. But Dr. Recchi has a job. So that's good, because he was out of a job after last season or something. Anyway, so Dr. Recchi's there. And they had to do things in the meantime because of the whole Babcock thing. Let me talk about Babcock for a minute, like the whole situation. I think the culture in Columbus has been terrible for a long time. Okay.
Oh, Jarmo, Jarmo was running a rancid ship. It's very obvious.
He was, and he got fired. I had heard earlier in the season that Jarmo and John Davidson were on notice after the Babcock thing. They were both put on notice.
Oh, you
about
have
that.
To be, yeah.
But that they were going to keep them in the meantime because their contracts were both up at the end of the year. Okay. So basically, we're not going to fire you and pay you. We're going to have you serve out the year, and then we're just going to let you go. Right. Now, remember, Davidson was over with the Rangers, and then they cleared house and he ran back to Columbus. And that was a mistake, obviously, because Columbus has never been any better, really, since he came back. Now, for Boone Jenner and Johnny Gaudreau, I don't think he has a letter, but they both kind of signed off on the Babcock thing. Like, they were like, oh, no, he seemed fine. It was okay that he wanted to look through our phones, or maybe not their phones, but it was okay for him to look through other people's phones. That is rancid.
Yeah. Rancid.
I would strip Boone Jenner of his captaincy. I would have done that right after the whole Babcock thing. It's just go without a captain this year. I don't know what anybody else said about it.
Or like make it, or like, you know, top yank it and give it to Werenski or something, right?
Werenski's going to get it at some point. Now, I thought that Boone Jenner would be the obvious choice, and he seemed like a decent guy and everything. But he is like the blandest of bland. I don't know how he could be a leader. I think he's a yes man to the coach, essentially. So that's not a good leader.
Well, and you know, here's the thing about that is the team probably looks on someone being a yes man as being pretty favorable, considering how many guys have wanted out in recent years.
Mm-hmm. They really do need to have a culture change there, because it's not a bad place to play. Columbus.
It's a nice facility.
It's a
they
nice
have one of
facility.
The better practice facilities in the league.
They have like youngsters in their program, their triple A program and stuff. You know, they've been building. What?
They have a really nice zoo.
Yeah, penguins and everything. Yeah.
I have been to the zoo. Yeah. I caught my first ditto there in Pokemon.
Oh, cool.
Go. Yeah. But it is a nice zoo. But Columbus is not a bad place to play. They have a major I guess they have a major hockey program at Ohio State, because Mason Lowry went there. They have another one on the other edge of the state with Miami. You know, it's like it's surrounded by hockey. They started the youth initiative in the city when they first got there. You know, they're maybe not as successful as certain other cities, but yeah. So it's not a bad place to be. And Ohio is what you make it. That's my advice on Ohio.
I should be on their highway signs.
Ohio, it's what you make it.
Ohio, it's whatever you need it to be.
I have spent an inordinate amount of time in Ohio, and I enjoy myself. Is it because I'm a particularly boring person? No. It's because, like, I find weird shit to go see and do. You know, I went to see the Serpent Mounds, which are these mounds that are like snakes. You know, there's a house there that is like all like folk art made out of reusable items. They have a hotel in Cincinnati that I haven't been to, but it's round, like the one hotel that I went to in Edmonton. You know what you can do in a round hotel? You can run around the floors.
Oh, that's cool.
I think that's really fun because when I get in a hotel, I act like a 5-year-old, apparently. But, you know, there are lots of fun things to do in there. They used to have a building that looked like a basket. So much fun. Anyway, I think it's a good place to play hockey. I've been to their building. The fans are very nice. Good fans. You need to give them a better product. Change your culture. Now, the one good thing they have in that room is Sean Corrali, who has been in a good hockey culture. Whether he took anything away from it, I don't know. But Andrew Peak did come in and say, everything I know about Boston, I heard from Corrali, because he talks about it a lot. Talks about Boston a lot.
Oh.
Yeah. So
anyway, so this Peak acquisition, a lot of risk there. He's got 2 more years of term after this year.
Mm-hmm.
But he's also 25.
Yep. He is moldable. Hopefully.
Hopefully. And like, clearly they signed him to, yeah, and based on their language, I don't even know if they're expecting him to be a four-port replacement now. Some of the way they've talked about him sounds like they're hoping he will be, they can turn him into one soon.
Mm-hmm.
Which is, makes him a weird deadline acquisition, to be clear. That's usually a summertime move if you're going to do that. But,
well, you also trade Zboril, and he hopefully gets a chance to play. And I do think GMs...
They sent him straight to Cleveland, so I don't think he's going to.
Oh, that's a bummer.
And there will be no playoffs, so...
The only thing worse than going to Columbus is going to Cleveland, so...
Again, Cleveland is a place that it really depends on what you're going there for. They have, like, a vibrant nightlife scene, and they have some really good restaurants. But don't go to the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. That's my only piece of advice. Don't go there. Because it's a ripoff. It really is. And I've gone, and I was just like, there's a bunch of shit here. I mean, it's interesting shit, I guess, but it's like, does it really tie together?
Could you just go to a Hard Rock Cafe and see basically the same thing?
I mean, I did get to see up close Michael Jackson's beaded glove because it was beaded. And it was very interesting to look at the intricacy of the work. It's like, okay, you have a bunch of Bowie costumes and stuff, but you're not really telling me anything here.
Now, so if this was just picking up the someone player that they've been trying, that Columbus has been trying to get rid of all year in exchange for Zboril, which would have been pretty reasonable. That would have been okay trade. I mean, like, you still have some concerns about taking on that term, but it would have been okay trade. But it also cost a third. Now, mind you, it's a third in 2027. Which is like so absurdly far down the road. I didn't even know you could trade picks that remote. That remote.
Well, I mean, that's like 3 years, right? From this year. 24, 25, 26. Oh, 27. I guess it's 4 years.
Yeah, but the point is, that on Cap Friendly, the chart that shows what picks you have and what picks you've traded doesn't go that far into the future.
I'm surprised they didn't trade a 2050. So, yeah, it took a pick and a player to get Peak, and we don't know what he is, and they haven't wanted him.
It doesn't seem like it should have taken that pick, that's all. Maybe you need a pick, but a third? I don't think so.
I'm surprised that he didn't try to get some of that salary retained. Usually he does. Usually you just ask.
Yeah, like, you don't even need mucks in this one. Just like, okay, retain $750 a year.
Yeah.
Yep.
It'd make him a clean $2 deal. You got a clean $2 million, mostly variable, not all of it, but mostly.
Yeah. So
I just think the Bruins really wanted to take a peek at the player and see how he fit in with the team for the next couple of years.
They wanted to take a peek at Peak, huh?
He piqued their interest. I mean, that's all there is to it.
Traded for him in a fit of Peak.
Oh, no. Well, at least he wasn't.
Anyway, we'll see what. Anyway, I think almost by any measure, I think they overpaid, even if this turns out to be a win. That's all I'm saying. Just because he seemed they wanted to get rid of him. They wanted him gone. He was like he was a buyout candidate for this coming summer. He could have been had for less, I would think.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, Donnie misfired.
Yeah. Okay. Hawks? So, what do we think of the rumor of the Ullmark thing?
It's true. I mean, they definitely tried to trade him.
Well, do you think it got that far, though? Do you think it got to the point where, well, for starters, he had a 16-team no trade list. So you're allowed to trade him to half the league. Well, okay, no, well, half the league minus one, because obviously Bruins are in the 16, okay. So what I want to know is, presumably they already had his list, because that's how that's supposed to work.
Mm-hmm.
If it's true, it seems to be an act of supreme arrogance to start to initiate conversations with someone on that list, on the no-go list, without talking to the player first.
Yep. Okay, I can understand completely why Lindholm wouldn't want to go to the Kings, because that's the rumored team, right? So I can understand why the Kings would be on the no trade list. Donnie got a little too close to the sun here. He just thought that Linus is gonna reconsider, and he'll be a good guy, and he'll just go and do that. And why would he do that?
Well, and then there's the question of what exactly was that being part of? I've seen things that suggested that it was part of a broader talk involving Dubois.
No, not that cancer.
The guy is fucking radioactive.
Not that cancer.
It's very well. He just doesn't give a fuck.
Yeah. Look,
his whole thing is he just does not give a fuck.
That guy whined his fucking way out of Columbus, which, okay, that's.
I mean, he also whined his way out of Winnipeg, which is like, okay, fair enough. But then he goes to LA and it's just fucking sucks.
Yeah.
I mean, I've been of the view he's been, in my opinion, very overrated for a long time. People are just in love with the fact that he's the size of a moose and can actually skate. And he had that like one good weird, that one good play-in round for Columbus during the bubble.
I don't like him as a player. I think he's probably not much better as a person, but that doesn't even matter into this. Didn't they lock him up this year too? So it would be
he makes 8.5 for 7 seasons after this one.
No.
There's no way the Bruins would have done that.
No.
Well, that was just it. That trade wouldn't have been one for one. But the question is, what else would it have looked like? Would there have been things coming back for the Bruins for the additional things for the Bruins, like their trouble, like say Alex Turcotte or something like that? Would there have been retention? Probably not retention. So there would have.
Would they have sent Jake back out?
If you sent Jake, then there better be more than Dubois coming. You better be looking at Dubois, Turcotte, and Turcotte at a first at that point.
It wouldn't surprise me if the Kings started the talks. And that's what gets leaked out. Oh, the Bruins were thinking about trading Ullmark to the Kings.
About that, and that's one thing that several people have been, particularly Ties, but it was very adamant reading up to, is like, no, anyone that claims they know what the Bruins are up to, they do not.
Mm-hmm.
Because Ty regularly makes the points like, the Bruins are extraordinarily tight-lipped. Remember last year? Not a single one of those moves was forecast. When they traded for Orlov, the entire hockey world was certain they were trading for Gavrikov.
Mm-hmm. Who's in LA? How much do you think it chaps the Kings' ass that Jonathan Quick is doing so well with the Rangers and that he got re-signed for another year?
I hope they eat that shit for the rest of their fucking lives.
Wow.
I can't stand LA.
I did not know you had a strong opinion. Okay. First thing, I thought you were going to be like, you had strong, like, positive opinions about Jonathan Quick. I'm like, I have no opinion of Jonathan Quick.
No, I have zero opinion of Jonathan Quick, but I have very negative opinions about any sports teams that have Los Angeles.
I understand you're still very bitter about Mookie. I'm sorry, Tim.
Fuck the Dodgers.
I'm still angry that the Lakers beat the Celtics in the 80s.
Yeah, yep. Fuck the Lakers too.
Yeah,
fuck the Clippers while we're at it.
Yep.
They didn't do anything, but they're in Los Angeles, so fuck
all
them
right.
Too.
So LA is second on the list of cities that Tim is going to demolish when he gets.
Oh, 100%.
Yeah. Okay. I think it's hilarious because they traded him, and Quick looked like he was on his last legs, and now he's doing so well down in New York. And of course, he's from Connecticut, so it's like, hop, skip, and a jump from his family. So that's fun. And I think it's hilarious that they the Kings signed Cal Peterson, and then he was so bad that they traded him away that same season. And they can't seem to get it together in goal, but their defense is also not that great. Anyway, yeah, fuck LA. That's fine. I'm good with that. And I'm glad that Ullmark vetoed that trade, because it was going to be bad if the return was going to be in any part Pierre-Luc Dubois. No, thank you.
Look, also, I mean, like, so with Dubois, there's almost certainly a certain amount of nurture, because he was coming through that awful Columbus room. But, oh, and of course, remember how awful apparently the Winnipeg room was last year. But it got nice after he went away.
Mm-hmm. Look, if you want to take a flyer on Pierre-Luc Dubois, then you get him at the trade deadline and see what you can do. And he has 1 year on his contract. Maybe.
Yeah.
You don't do it with seven more seasons after this.
But what is increasingly very, almost always, it seems to be the death sentence, borderline 2/1C contract too. That $8 million max term. I mean, Duchene, Johansson, Couture, over the hill, decent but not spectacular centers who then fail completely to live up to that contract. Like, if you got a center that's looking to sign for $8 million, run.
Johansson's traded to Philly and then put on waivers.
Out of spite. It has nothing to do, almost nothing to do with him. You know how long ago he played for Torts? Most of his career.
No, I respect that. I respect the hell out of that.
Maine Black Bear great.
Maine Black Bear great, and you know what? Hold that fucking grudge, baby.
And then also, apparently, the team's like bitterness about Cutter Gauthier.
And they share the same agent. Yeah.
Like that. That's particularly petty. I'm just like, what the fuck?
I strive for that level of pettiness.
Did they acquire him just for the?
No. Avs apparently really wanted Raicho gone because apparently he was a problem. I've read some things that suggest he was a problem in the Avs room. Two, he's been playing like dog shit for them, and they needed to move cap out to be able to do their variously assorted moves, right? They had that very, very active deadline there.
Yeah.
Like a significant team restructure deadline. It's interesting to see how that work out. We'll work out for them.
I was just shocked by that whole thing. You know what? This league is fucking petty, right? What did they do to John Scott when he was leading in the all-star votes, right? They traded him, and then they put him down to the American League.
Yeah.
This whole league is full of pettiness. So, fine. This is a different kind of pettiness. Okay, that's fine. Look.
Well, so there's pettiness, and then there's just naked vindictiveness.
If Torts felt like he couldn't coach him early in his career, how does he feel like he's going to coach him now? Some players don't take coaching. And so, you know, look, I get it. You know, John Tortorella will not say a bad thing about Kevin Hayes, but it was obvious that Kevin Hayes didn't want to play for him.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why he went to St. Louis. Torts is like, you know, keep Hayes's name out of your mouth. Don't bring him into this. This is not his problem, when he was talking about something else it had to do with Gauthier. So anyway.
Wait, did Hayes already play for him when he coached New York?
Maybe.
No, Torts left New York a long time ago now.
Okay.
Was it that long ago?
Yeah. I mean, he had Torts last year, and Torts is an acquired experience. I like Torts. I like that kind of guy. Getting back to Ullmark, I think Ullmark had earned that right to veto the trade. He used it. I'm glad he did, because that is that's something that he's earned.
Hell yeah.
And I think that players need to get the things that they're earned. If he said he wanted to be traded, then good for him. But, you know, why would you do that? I thought an obvious place for him to go would be New Jersey, because Jersey needs a goalie like yesterday. And it's not too much further away from Sweden for when he wants to go home or have family over or whatever. It would break my heart, but it wouldn't be the worst thing that's ever happened. But then no. What did the Devils do? They got the warmed up remains of Jake Allen, who's never really been good, and he's not good now.
Okay. Oh, so Hayes's rookie season was the year after Torts was fired from the Rags.
Oh,
okay.
Rags was fired at Torts was fired at the end of 13-14, and Hayes's rookie season was 14-15.
Hmm.
All right. Okay. There we go. So what do you think about the whole possible trade to LA?
Not much.
I don't know. there's. I don't want any part of Dubois. That's the central thing here, and that's one of the rumors we heard. Setting aside that, it depended entirely on what they were going to get back. Right? Like LA's got some good things to throw around, but what which ones would they have been? I like Ullmark.
We're not going to get Byfield. Yeah.
No, well, exactly. And we're going to get Byfield. They already traded Vilardi. Turcotte's a reclamation project, and they probably weren't going to be coughing up Brant Clark or something like that. So I don't know. I really don't.
All right. We can move on. It's okay.
I'm glad they didn't move Jake. I'm still not happy that like this is starting to increasingly look like guaranteed he's gone. It's what it is, though.
You know what? A few weeks back, I said that I was just tired of Jake. I'm just tired of the cycle. Jake gets too much in his head. Jake is too streaky. Then now every couple of years, we're going to do the, I don't have a contract, blah, blah, blah. Am I going to be traded? Still in your head. I mean, shows some signs of life, but like he seems to be very particularly sensitive to who he's playing alongside, which, you know, players get like that, I guess.
He's playing well, and I think the real problem is he and his agent are asking for him to get paid like the player he was last year.
Mm-hmm.
If they're up there asking for a $5 million AAV, absolutely. No, if they're asking for more, then like just walk. But I don't see a case of five would be fine. I'm not talking five over 8 years. Like yeah, you don't sign a player like Jake. No. I'm talking like maybe 5x5 or something.
Yeah.
Yep.
Or 5x4 would be probably better.
Yeah.
But if he is going to go somewhere, I kind of hope he goes to Edmonton. It just makes sense on every level. Okay, I'm sorry. I don't know if Jake.
I don't even know why. I just want Edmonton to suffer. So like no. I don't even hate Edmonton. I just like, you know what? No. This franchise deserves nothing good.
But I'm looking at it like Jake would have a good home back in his hometown, get to see his dad a lot, see his girlfriend a lot, and he gets to play alongside a center who will make him play so good.
Like his name is Bergeron.
Can we talk about Bergeron for a minute?
Sure.
That guy is a mensch. What a mensch. He is like, he's giving advice and a pep talk to Ullmark. He's stopping by and talking to Jake.
So many other.
Yeah. The guy is constantly around, even though he doesn't even work out at Warrior anymore. He works out at the same place that the Boston PWHL team plays out of. He works out with them. He's doing a lot of stuff with them. But anyway, but he's back, not just getting sticks for his kids' games, because he's done that too. He's popped into Warrior to just get a stick. Why pay for a stick when the team will issue sticks?
I would say at this point, Bergeron, that's called theft. But I'm sure they'll let it slide.
If you worked for the Bruins and Patrice Bergeron said, hey, I just need to grab a stick so I can help out my kids.
Oh, yeah. I'll come put it in your car.
I'm going to wrap up five of them for you. Yeah. And here you go, Mr. Bergeron. He's perfect. He really is. I haven't even listened to that Cue the Memories episode yet, but he seems he seems so candid, and it's so sweet because we're so used to him being like toe the company line, say the right things and whatever. And now he gets to be Bergeron, playing tennis, learning tennis with Tuca on Mondays, and playing with Raycroft and Tuca, practicing on the ice on Fridays. Uber for his kids. And giving advice to people, to other players that he no longer is the captain of. I mean, he is, I guess, Captain Emeritus, right? Mm-hmm. So there we go. It's just fantastic. You know, he's talking to Marshy. You know, he's talking to whoever wants to talk to him. Hell, he might still talk to Jamel Smith for all I know.
Oh, he does.
He basically saved that guy's life, right?
Yes. So. Yes. So it's like, you know what? Man, I mean, if I had Bergeron.
And they were teammates for like a week.
If I had Bergeron's number, I wouldn't be burning it up all the time, but I would definitely use it if I had to. So what a good guy. So bravo, Patrice Bergeron. Always the hero. Anyway, if Jake is going to be here, fine. Not more than 5 million, not more than 5 years. I'm fine with that, because then it gets us out of the cycle a little bit. But I really hope that he gets a center that he can play with alongside. Although Monty doesn't really help things when he seems to just throw pieces in the air and figures out how people are going to, what the lines are like sometimes. I don't trust Monty. I don't. I still have problems from last year. So anyway, I thought for sure if they had finished up a deal for Swayman that Ullmark would have been traded. And I don't know what's going on with Jake. He's going to just have to wait until they're ready to talk about it, I guess. So he is eligible to be a UFA, right?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Well, okay. We're going to have to see what's happening with that in time. So we talked a lot about the trade deadline. Oh, boy. I've been calling it lots of things. I called it the dead time a couple of weeks ago. Now I'm calling it the bedtime. The trade deadline is come and gone. And the Bruins seemed to play a little bit better last week. They beat
hilariously beat the Leafs by 4-1 twice in a week.
That was fantastic. It was, oh my God, so fantastic. Once in Toronto, once at home. I was at the game at home because you need to have good luck. And I am good luck this year, so I was there. I deeply regret not going last night, but I was just tired. I couldn't go.
Understandable.
Yeah.
I fell asleep.
What was that?
I fell asleep early last night, so I understand.
And then, of course, the Pens, which, like, I saw highlights because I was on the road during that game, but, like, the Pens are bad.
Yeah.
Like, well, so bad.
They traded Gensel.
But, like, above and beyond that, just everyone's given up. Like, what are they waiting on Fire and Sullivan? Like, they're just running out the strand?
So,
like, there's no concern about having to pay him for the rest of his contract because Sullivan will get hired by someone else about 15 minutes after the end of the season. Like, there's no problem there, right? Like, so they can't be a contract concern.
Wow. So 15 minutes. I mean, Bruce Cassidy had to wait a whole 6 days after he got fired. Wow.
But, like, well, remember, they fired Cassidy late. Most of the vacancies were full.
That's true.
That's a good point.
But the one that counted wasn't.
So I totally have seen a Bruins game in the past month. Sorry, y'all. I've been really busy. But my dad watched the Bruins game Saturday because I was over before the game and I put it on the TV for him. He's he's fine. He just doesn't really watch TV. But I asked him, like, hey, did you watch the game? He's like, yeah, Penguins suck. Like, hot commentary. But my dad's typically he likes hockey because me and my brother do, but he can tell, it's like, oh yeah, this team's really bad.
so that decision to re-up Letang and Malkin and then get Carlson, all of that worked out so well.
Fuck John Henry. I've waited long enough.
I was going to say, the Penguins are clearly getting the full John Henry experience there, aren't they?
Fuck John Henry. Fuck that guy. I hate him. I hate ownership. Fuck LeBron James because he's part of ownership.
Another reason to hate the Lakers.
Fuck them all. Yep. Mm-hmm. And another reason why to hate him is because we know that they're just waiting to buy a Las Vegas franchise for the NBA whenever that comes to be. So fuck them all. Fuck the Penguins. The game was really fun to watch in the big city greens. I watched the entire game like that, and that was wild. That was fun.
You know what I really hate? And this is the whole John Henry experience, is that they seem to forget that fans want to watch teams win. They want to root for a team and watch that team win. And John Henry, at least with, I know definitely with Fenway, and maybe to some extent with the Penguins, and they're, do they still own Liverpool?
They do.
Okay. They just want fans to pay through the nose for the experience. They don't seem to care about putting a good product on the field, ice, pitch, whatever, which is bothersome because we want to go pay money for not necessarily an experience, but for our team to win. God damn it.
Yeah. Somewhere after 2018, he stopped caring about actual winning product on the field. Yeah, just cares about selling the experience. He doesn't care who comes to the game. He doesn't care if it's Red Sox fans or fans of the team they're playing. As long as people are there, that's all that matters. He doesn't want to spend on the team. It's worth over $9 billion, but he cries poor and tells us that it's baseball players are expensive. Yeah, go fuck yourself. That's it.
Don't the Red Sox, can't they just print money?
Yes, absolutely.
I believe Liverpool probably can as well. Yeah.
Mm.
Yep, they definitely can too. Yep. They like to cry poor. And now they're involved in the Live Golf and PGA Tour thing and just spreading themselves to all these different avenues without actually caring about, as long as it's making him money, that's all he cares.
How dare the people that I pay for to play the game, how dare they make me, a billionaire, a little less rich, even though I'm making money off of their backs? Yeah, fuck that guy.
Yep.
All right, so
fucking.
Yeah, so it was hilarious to see the Bruins beat the Leafs twice in 1 week in two different venues. Man, at this point, it looks like that could be the, if things ended today, as they always say, if the season ended today, those two teams would match up. How many games do you think that the Leafs would survive?
I mean, we know the answer. We've seen it before.
Do you think they could make it to a game seven? Because they have lost all four this year.
I go kind of wondering, it's like, you know what happens, like, if in touch wood, a Bruins Leafs first round, what happens to the Leafs in a 4 or 5 game loss?
Well,
what gets done to that roster?
Well, I mean, first, if that happens, first of all, like, someone check on Steve Dangle, because he ain't gonna survive.
I mean, Keith's probably fired before he gets on the bus.
Mm-hmm.
That guy should have been fired. Well, he shouldn't have been hired in the first place, but he should have been fired like a month or two ago.
Yeah.
So
does Shanahan get Shanna banned?
Yeah, he needs to. He's bad. This is all happening under him.
Well, and then do they trade Marner? They try to find someone to take Tavares off their hands.
Oh, I don't want Tavares. It's okay. Trade us Matthews.
Yeah.
Do Matthews and Nylander start looking around? It's like, oh, maybe it wouldn't have been that bad to move my shit.
Yeah, I don't know why you wanted to stay there. Your best friend plays in the Bruins. You could have been 88B.
There's I haven't ordered new hockey jerseys for my team in a while. And I mean, I did, but they haven't come in yet. So we have two 74s and two 37s. So we have in on our reporting software, there's 74 and 174. Which is just hilarious to me that they're
they won't let you do the same number twice, so you have to put a one in there.
Mm-hmm. I
mean, the system, but they're letting you do three digits.
Yeah, but the system case, can't...
At that point, you almost need to try to see if it'll do pi.
We're getting off topic, which is okay because that's the point of the podcast. But years ago in my Winston League, there was a team that purposely used bizarre numbers, and pi was one of them. His number was just pi.
Did someone use I or E perhaps as well?
Yes, yeah, they were. And if you knew these guys, these were all actually all blue collar guys, but because you're
makes
like,
it even better.
It does. They're like, ah, look at us, mathematicians. There was 0, double 0.
Was there a square root negative 1?
Oh, there were some negative numbers. Yeah. Like it was. And the system couldn't handle any of these. So they were all just numbered 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. And no, it's like whose line's anywhere. None of the points mattered. Like their leading score, I don't think actually played a game that year. It was some guy.
So this undrafted free agent that the Bruins signed today.
Oh, yeah.
Gentleman by the name of Drew Bavaro. EP Rinkside had him as their so Elite Prospects had him as their fifth ranked undrafted player in NCAA free agency this spring.
Oh, that's pretty good.
Okay, that's good.
Ahead of one ahead of Colin Graf, who's pretty universally considered like the premier get.
Interesting.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Is he related to Mark Bavaro?
I can't speak to that.
You know who Mark Bavaro is, right?
No.
Oh boy, I can't believe that your parents are Giants fans and you don't know.
I mean, like, football's just not relevant to my interests.
Long time tight end for the Giants back in the 80s. Your parents would know, you won't know. I'm old.
I had lunch today with a friend who is about 8 years younger than me. And she goes, "Wait a second, Nick. When did you get gray hair in your beard?" I'm like, "It's actually been there for a while. I'm just growing out the beard, so now you see it."
Oh my god!
Yeah. It only gets worse.
I think it's a great look, so no worries.
Well, that's just it. I don't care.
Yeah, I don't either.
Obviously, I don't care.
Your gray beard looks great.
I know.
Plus, I can say, well, I can look at my beard. It's like, okay, it's not just gray. That's actually shock white. So when my hair all goes, it's going to be spectacular.
Oh, yeah.
And I know I got the genes for it. It's not going anywhere. It's just going to change color on me.
Oh, my Aunt Jean has shockingly white hair.
Renee Rancourt is looking good without his hair being dyed.
Oh, thank God he's not dying. Such an awful dye job. Like, I have no other – well, actually, my master supervisor dyed his hair that same – Auburn? And it's just not good.
Mm-hmm. Here's
this
the thing:
not good.
Any dye that you put on white hair is never going to be anything like you think it should be. Robert Downey Jr. has been gray for a very long time, and I know that because every time they tried to make his hair dark as it used to be, there was always this like kind of red sheen on the edges.
Mm.
That's the telltale sign of a black dye going on white hair. Is like you see another color. So that's one of the reasons why I stopped dyeing my hair black. It's because it would be more reddish brown than black, so it doesn't really work. But you can put fun colors on your hair, no problem. Oh. Because they look fine. But yeah, here's my advice: get a purple conditioner. So those things that are for like conditioners for white hair or for really blonde, like platinum blonde hair, that stuff, put that on there and your hair will not get brassy. So I use a purple conditioner and my hair doesn't get too brassy. It's only brassy down here because I have mixtures of gray in here.
Okay.
I still have some dark hair, but yeah, that needs to get cut off anyway. So that's my advice. So so Bavaro.
So he just finished 4-year NCAA career. He did 2 years at Bentley and then transferred after 21-22 to Notre Dame. He's coming off of a 10, 10, and 20 in 35 games as a defenseman.
Okay, that's not bad.
It's pretty good, you know. And pretty consistent. He was 19, 37 games the previous year, last year, 27 and 36 with Bentley his sophomore year. So he's been solid, you know. Born in Florida, went to Lawrence Academy for prep school.
All right.
I like to see Southern hockey players. That's cool.
I wonder why.
Yeah. Still waiting on a...
I have a feeling that he may have actually been raised in Massachusetts, though, because in 1617, in addition to playing at Lawrence, Mass, of course, for prep, he played in the Neponset Valley, both under 18 and under 16 teams. And I don't know how much time one has to play peewee when one is also in prep school and on the prep school team.
Right. Right. All right.
But he's born in Florida, though. So...
We'll take it. We'll take it for now. Actually, well, Austin Matthews being born in Arizona. It's pretty cool. But I want a North Carolinian in the NHL. There's only been one.
Oh, he see, I've had plenty of Rhode Islanders.
Of course.
Anyway, yes, I can understand it. It's good to have people from
did
your
Skyler
state.
Did Skylar Brindamore get drafted, or did he end up going undrafted? He's not. He hasn't played yet, obviously. Yeah, he's still a prospect, but
he's playing in the AHL. AHL. I want to make sure I said that correctly.
And is he? And more importantly, was Rob there when he was born, or was he elsewhere?
He was. Obviously, he was. And Rob, his dad, was a Hurricane at the time. Which we'll take. You know, I'm not picky. It's like okay, the son of a Carolina Hurricane.
Non-trivial number of really good of recent good American players have been the sons of non-American hockey players. I hate to use this as an example, but Ulf Sverrius Spahn, of course, all played for USA, not for Sweden. Likewise,
So he's 24.
That old now? Is that long ago? Jeez.
Yeah, he was born in 7/27, 1999 in Raleigh. He was drafted by Edmonton 2017, 177th overall, sixth round, 22nd pick.
I thought it was a more recent than that. Okay, never mind then. He's done.
Time flies by.
In 2011, he was part of the junior Carolina Hurricanes. So that's kind of fun. And he played for Quinnipiac. But he is with the Charlotte Checkers. He has played 43 games. He is 3-5-8 at a minus 14, which is
those aren't NHL numbers.
No.
And listeners, you may think the Charlotte Checkers report to the Carolina Hurricanes. No, they're Florida's.
Well, no one reports to the Carolina Hurricanes.
Yeah, it's they kind of have a problem.
Yeah, it's a bad situation to find themselves in, but
yep.
I can barely keep any track of any of the AHL teams. I just know the Providence Bruins are the Bruins feeder team. So there you go. Yeah, I think it's really hard to be the child of a really good player. You have to find your way around. So I know that Jerome Ginla made a bunch of moves to make sure that his children could play sports at a high level.
Tidge is destroying the Dub right now.
Okay, that's good. And
he's going to be probably going to be about middle of the first round.
Okay, that's exciting. I hope it works out for him. But it's really hard for as kids of really excellent players to really make their way. Anyway, why don't we look forward
making
to next
way
week?
Downtown. Dun, 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 dun.
Anyway, yes.
Well, we did have a request for more singing, but you know.
So, yes, games. So, of course, we start off today is Tuesday, March 12th. So on Thursday, that's March 14th, 7 p.m. at the Sensair Bell against the Habs. I will not be able to watch this game because all of our Habs games are freaking not played on Sportsnet streaming because they're on RDS.
Ugh.
Anyway, then 2 days later, Saturday 16th, 7 p.m. Eastern Time, against the Flyers at home.
Ooh, that should be fun. Seeing Torts. Is Torts still suspended?
No, it's only took two games. He'll be back by then, probably.
Okay.
I don't know what their schedule is.
No Gritty, and though. That's sad.
Yeah. And then followed up next Tuesday, the 19th, at home against the Sens.
Okay. We haven't really played them in this year, have we? Like once? Twice? Three times?
Oh, made it. We've played them at least twice, because there's that game and then a game on April 16th against them.
Okay.
But we played them either four or five times, because they're in division. And so we've played them either twice or three times.
Mm-hmm. I remember nothing.
Yeah.
We lost to them, I think.
Really? Like, who loses to the Sens?
We do.
That was perfect. Perfect delivery on that one.
Yeah, it's almost like we coordinated that or something.
It was not coordinated, but it was hilarious. Yeah, I gotta tell you, I don't remember any of the games.
Well, we beat them the last time, January 25th, 3-2. So that's one.
Oh,
that's only the game we played them. We only played them three times this year.
Yay! And everybody rejoiced.
Yay!
Because why do we... I know we played them four times last year and we had trouble every time. So, yeah. You know what? The fewer games we play the Senators, the better it is. I mean, who wants to watch that? You guys have had so many chances to build your team and you guys still suck.
Damn.
I just want to... Look, I want to see other teams. Like, I want to see Buffalo do something sometime. I want to see the Sens rise up. You know, I like it when the league, when the division is very, very competitive. It's kind of fun and horrifying. But, you know, I don't know. I just, whatever. You guys want to be stuck in limbo and hell, go ahead, do that. Whatever. I think the fewer games we watch them, the better it is. So, yeah. I will probably miss the Montreal game. I'll probably get to see it on replay, though, because I have to get up at stupid o'clock to take my brother to the airport.
Oh, well, you're being a good sibling. That's nice.
Yeah, I'm going to go down to Newport on Thursday, take him to the airport at a stupid time so he can make a flight. He has to be there at like 4 or 4:30. He's going to India. And then I'm going to come home and collapse. So,
are you going to have pie that day?
Oh my God. Oh yeah. My pie God. Day. Pie day is Thursday. Get yourselves a pie, everybody, or make yourselves a pie. Oh, now
yeah,
I have
pie to... day.
God, I feel bad. I'll get Glenn a pie or something. Anyway, yeah. So I'm bringing Boomer down with me. So I'll be down in Newport. Next time we record, I will be probably in the kitchen or dining room recording an episode. Yes, yes, yes. Because we will. I'm keeping this train rolling, guys. Even last week when it was all by myself.
Choo-choo. I just almost coughed, so that choo-choo was really weird, but...
Yeah, so, all right. I think we can wrap it up.
Okay. Listeners, you've been listening to Barely on Topic. You can find us wherever your favorite podcasts are found. You can also follow us on Twitter at Barely on Topic, or on Facebook, that's at Barely on Topic Podcast. And lastly, there are individual Twitter accounts insofar as any of us still tweet. Yes, I said tweet. I will not apologize. I, of course, am at Dr. Hand Grenade.
I am at Tim A. Richardson.
I'm at Nick Baggio.
And I am at, hey, I'm on other things as Queen of Pies, but I guess I'm still VA from RI on Twitter. I won't call it X. And hey, somebody even contacted me on Discord, and that was fun.
That's cool.
.org.
Oh.
Yeah, it was
also
fun.
From Ohio.
Yeah. Apparently I'm from Ohio as well. It's so weird.
Thank you.